Okay, guys, we're back here on Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We got the Waz on as a guest. We only got him for like another 20 minutes or so more, so I want to get into the heart of the conversation. Before the break, Waz, we were talking about, you know, how great this is, the advancement of technology. It's almost limitless what we can do. But at the same time, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Especially when you see the kind of government we now have in Washington, the kind of power this is giving them to surveil pretty much everything we're doing, to keep track. Your freedoms seem to be going out the window these days, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, originally, even the Internet was supposed to be anybody, the little guy. Well, you know, when we started the computers, we sat around in a club, the Homebrew Computer Club, and we were so socially minded, and we had this idea we were going to take the little guy, and by learning how to program, he was going to be more valuable than the CEO in the company, and we were going to, you know, overturn things and give these little guys that have talent a place in life. And now the Internet came along, and the little guy could publish. You didn't have to go through a money-making book publisher to get your material out to the world, to teach people things that you knew. And eventually, that's not how it really turned out. It turned out to be a big retail, you know, oriented place. And computer technology gives us ways to make signals secure, but unfortunately, it also gives ways to easily crack and scan. So, I don't know.
A lot of that. Yeah.
It's kind of the only people that are really doing the scaring the government are the hackers, because they're doing their work usually not for any personal gain. They're doing it
right.
For free, you know, and that violates the whole principle of capitalism.
Exactly.
Money is God, you know, and money's not God to these people. It's a, sort of an explorer doing something you're not supposed to be able to do by being tricky and clever. But, the current administration, it's just so absurd. All these principles that I was brought up with, you know, about, you know, when you sent a letter, for example, you sealed an envelope, but that told the person at the far end that only you and they saw it, and it was, you know, a personal connection. Good Lord, that's all gone.
It is. I mean, we're not in a free country anymore. People are still...
Every single example I was given as to why communism was bad and what they did, we're doing all those things now. How do you reverse yourself? You know, the bad guys are, you know, what we used to call the bad guys is now the good things. I don't, you know, it's just team versus team. It's our team, our side.
So many great
American principles of why we were the people the rest of the world would look up to, and nobody can look up to us now. It's just power, and all these people pulled out American flags and said, I'm rooting for America. They weren't rooting for America. They were rooting for their team. They weren't rooting for the values that makes America, America. No, it just shocked me. I mean, right from 9/11 on, that day, the words that Bush used, I could hear what was going down. You know, the biggest lie started, it wasn't, you know, all the lies about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction. It was the lies that war is going to be the last resort. And every bit of the evidence shows that rather than being skeptical, asking lots of questions, making sure they were right, no, they were trying to bend the truth and, you know, get us into the war. And that means it was the first resort, not the last.
Yeah,
so
the lies
didn't hurt Saddam Hussein and his group. That what they did was they hurt all these Americans that they suckered into believing them. The way the press is trained, to get out opinions. You know, here's how you write things. Here's how you get the emotions. You know, they're so clever. That's all part of government nowadays. It's been for a long time. Vietnam War too.
Propaganda. Did you know that they were planning to invade both Afghanistan and Iraq even before Bush was in office?
No, because I'm really I try to stay away from politics. I don't vote because it's so much evil and bad in it. Basically, I don't think there's one good side, one good party or the other. Once they all get in office, they all want to attach little spending matters into every bill so every congressman can go back to his own district or her district and say, I got this money into our district. So they get reelected, and it's just a whole. They're never going to give up losing that chance to get reelected and keep their power. So you know, you get all this spending. Why does the federal government fund all these little local things? That's just not right. But my taxes
Very
should
true.
Probably be paid. You know, a fourth of it to the federal government, and 3/4 of it to the state.
And yeah, we don't have a bipartisanship system. We have a one-party system. It's called the money party. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the Waz.
Hi.
I'm really whipping to the heart of this discussion here. Yeah, I mean, here we are in this obvious fraudulent war. It's cost, you know, if you go by the official numbers, at least 3,000, which is more than what died on 9/11. It turns out, though, that number has been fixed. It's a lot higher than that. That, you know, like they lie about everything else, they're lying about that, too. But no question, there's no excuse for this war. There's no reason for us being there. We shouldn't have gone in the first place. We certainly have no business continuing there now. Everybody's opposed, or at least the majority of people are opposed, even in Congress, even Republican Congress.
You know what? I look at the way a company is run, with a management structure, with CEOs, with, you know, responsibilities and defined goals and, you know, ways that you get bonuses and all that. This president would have been kicked out of any company long ago for mistake after mistake after mistake, even
exactly.
If he had been telling the truth. The you know, and truth in companies isn't as tight as it is personally. But also, you know, that's what bothers me. My big point in life is you tell the truth. And I grew up ethical. My father taught me that even if you're doing something others consider wrong, you tell them. You tell them why you think it's right and why you know, it's okay to believe your way and have somebody else believe another way. And here's this president saying, oh, yeah, war is the last resort. I already went through that one. And he says, I had bad intelligence. Well, how come he didn't fire those people that gave him the bad intelligence? You did a lousy job. You got us into a war. Also, you go into if a business went into some big project like a war,
he's got bad
they
intelligence,
would have budgets.
Right?
They would have it, everything pinpointed. How much? I listened to the debates of my car radio one day, and the Democrats were asking, will you please come up with a budget, how much this is likely to cost, where is the end point, how much are the repairs going to be, the reparations, all this stuff.
Right.
Oh, the
no discussion of that
voted
at all.
That down. I thought, how can you be so irresponsible to think, oh, money is infinite. I got a blank check. I'm not going to try to say I'm going to come in at some amount of money. And I think it's going to run closer to $10,000 per family. Back when we got into this vote, a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm for going into Iraq because they got a bad guy there, and we'll do some good. Well, that's just not our purpose. You don't invade a sovereign country. You know, they can be very different than you, do things that are very counter to your own culture, things that you would consider very bad here, but they are a sovereign country, and you can't invade them unless they're a danger to you.
Right. Well, bottom line, he doesn't care. It's not his money. He spares no expense at our expense. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, well, the way he started spending on other matters, even before this war, my friends were saying it's like a drunk sailor with a credit card.
I don't know if you knew this, but last year the administration claimed that the deficit just for last year alone was $248 billion, yet the Treasury came out and they said, no, it's much worse than that. It's $4.6 trillion. And that if you tax 100% of all wages of all workers and all corporate profits in the U.S. in the coming year, it wouldn't be enough to cover the deficit.
You know, I mean, if people were told that this, by the way, to go for the Iraq war, you're voting $1,000 per family, and it's more like $10,000 now that it's cost by the time we get out, nobody would have voted for it. Everyone would have said, oh, my God, I would much rather have $1,000. But they hide the fact that it costs money. And make it sort of seem invisible, the way credit can be.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can finance wars on credit now.
Tell me something. You know, 9/11, of course, has been the pretext for going into not only Afghanistan, but to some degree initially anyway, that was the reason for going into Iraq, part of the war on terror. And, you know, they've exploited 9/11 for a bunch of other things, too.
You know, after they fooled so many people that they fooled, the conservatives, the Republicans, the ones that got fooled should be the ones up in arms saying, you don't fool me like that. You don't trick me and, you know, get me believing these things that are just so phony. I had so many conservative friends saying, if the United States says there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, then there are. They know what they're doing. Yeah, they knew the answer. They knew there were none.
Right.
It's just
exactly.
I would feel so like I got taken for a ride. These people treated me like a little dupe that they can tell any story to and I'll buy it. And
they should
be up in arms at this administration. It's still a game. You're always for, you know, my team right or wrong.
Another pathetic aspect of that is the fact that Saddam did have weapons of mass destruction at one point. He got them from us to use against Iran.
I mean, and also a lot of the financing for the Taliban, essentially going back in time, came through us.
Came from us. I mean, it's like a dominoes game. They set them up, knock them down. Set them up, knock them down, you know.
And you never can understand the principles they apply to who. How do they choose who's our friend, who's not, and then whoever isn't our friend. They got a big media organization to put out all this information to the people about why this guy's not our friend. This country is the bad one doing all these bad things to get us aroused. I mean, that propaganda is just horrible. And it's just like we pick them, and our friends in the world, my entire life, 50-some years, has tended to be that we're on the side, usually, of the bad guys, of the despots.
Right. Sure.
You know?
Money-related.
Good God, they elected a... in Vietnam, they elected a democratic leader, and he was so much for the people, it wasn't going to work out to our needs, so we assassinated him.
I don't know if you heard of the School of the Americas. They've since changed their name, kind of given themselves a little facelift, but down in Georgia, Fort Benning or whatever,
yeah.
they have a school there. It's still there. And for decades, we've been training, you know, guerrilla fighters down in South America in tactics of sabotage and torture and outright terrorism.
Yeah.
You know, here we are.
Well, also, you know what? A lot of Americans look at these wars we've been in and they judge it. Oh, because we went and fired a bunch of missiles and blew things up, we won the war.
Yeah.
And they don't even know how to judge such a thing. I got to at least give a speech one time about 2 years ago, and I stared right at the guy who led the Afghanistan war and got to say, well, we lost both wars, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq. And he looked back knowingly. He knew what I meant.
Right. Exactly. I tell you,
whatever goals you set for that Afghanistan war, we didn't achieve anything. We just left the country, you know, back to drugs.
Right. And, you know, they're waging war here against us, never mind abroad. I mean, the Constitution has essentially been decimated since 9/11 through the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, which to me mimics Hitler's Gestapo.
Yeah, and I grew up constitutionally based. My father was an Eisenhower Republican, And you know what? The Constitution and the principles in it, things like freedom of speech, and look at our legal system, hundreds of years of defining the rights of man and why you have rights, why you have to be tried in a court a certain way. And our biggest principle of all is innocent until proven guilty, which means in court, burden of proof is on the accuser. Now, when it came to Iraq, we didn't say, oh, the burden of proof about weapons of mass destruction, for example, is on us. We said the burden of proof's on him. And he has, you can't unprove something that's not true.
I don't know if you heard the Donald
Why do we violate these principles that we hold so sacred in our country? I mean, we are the guys that would never torture anyone, and of course it would be illegal in this country. So we make secret prisons in another country? I mean, who's fooling whom about, you know, who are good moral people in this world?
Torture is now official policy. It used to be something not only frowned upon.
You know, finding all these little loopholes to, oh, well, we'll just torture them in a different country or we'll have other people do it for us is just, it doesn't make me feel proud of the things I was proud of being an American when I was young.
Exactly. We're losing our moral backbone, and when you have that, you just, you know.
Where were the churches? Just because Bush was, against abortion, the churches tended to be on his side and didn't rethink each matter on its own moral principles.
Yeah, organized religion is another big fiasco in this country.
They should have been. I mean, basically, the churches should have been so much against this kind of, you know, invasion without evidence, invasion with, you know, without principle. I mean, we say that, oh, Saddam Hussein violated United Nations agreements. Let the United Nations decide if it's worth, you know, if they were major things or minor things or if it's insurmountable. And the United Nations voted the right way, actually. They weren't subverted by the lies.
Right.
Good Lord.
Right.
I mean, we should look to France for the answers. Why do we keep looking, you know, at the people who have made mistake after mistake after mistake, our administration, our generals and the like? Why do we look at them and put them in the power to keep going? They're the ones who will solve it. We should say they've been wrong over and over and over. Why don't we listen to a few of these people that were right from day one and let them run things?
They do what they want, like a dictatorship, without caring what the will of the people is or the bulk of Congress.
That's an amazing thing. I mean, Bush had a Congress, you know, had all Republicans, and he could just have a blank check. And it's horrible where it took this country. I hope that, you know, doesn't easily happen again. We were the country with checks and balances.
Right. Tell me something. Do you have, I got some whispers that you have some suspicions about 9/11. Do you see that as the official story is alarming? I mean, I have a personal problem with, the total breakdown of defense that day. Where was our military? How did these planes fly around for almost 2 hours without anything being done to intercept them or shoot them down?
I suspect that probably the official story is close to how it was, but there's so many questions that are so valid from a kind of a scientific investigation, an engineering investigation point of view. How did the buildings fall the way they did? These questions deserve an airing, and they've been just shut down. Facts, you know, facts and papers are hidden. Why do we hide stuff? If we're so right, you put stuff in the open. You say, here it all is. See why we're right? And
well, you know, they didn't even examine the debris at Ground Zero properly. That area should have been roped off and, you know, label each piece and photograph it in place. They didn't do that. They hurriedly removed it and, carted it off and basically melted most of it down without ever examining it.
I'm not talking about just the debris that was hidden, but also, you know, tapes and papers of what was going on inside of NORAD, inside the U.S. military during this whole thing. You know, why do they seal it? It's just,
unless you got something to hide, you don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not right. I mean, hypocrisy and lies mean you're doing something you know is wrong inside. And that's why you're trying to keep it hidden from other people.
Definitely,
this thing is so wrong, it just equates to murder. When you're going to, you know, tell lies so you can shoot a bullet or a missile at someone, that's murder.
Yeah.
It's out and out murder, and it's just so awful.
Complicity. Yeah, I mean, some would argue that they did it. Some argue that, well, they sat back and let it happen. It doesn't really matter. They're complicit either way. There was some form of complicity here. There's no question the suspicious behavior. And then the fact that Bush didn't want to appear before the 9/11 Commission. When he finally did, it had to be with Cheney. The proceedings had to be private, not public. They couldn't be recorded.
Yeah, I mean, I won't take
they were not to be under
responsibility for anything. You know what? There's this whole idea of personal responsibility. Hey, if you're going to take some action and it has a problem, you're responsible for that. You're responsible. You're also responsible for, you know, yourself. And I don't know.
Really?
But
what do you see the future of the internet?
That's why he'd be kicked out of a company. No corporation would take officers acting so irresponsibly and, you know, requesting blank checks for everything and
right.
no accountability. You can't look in.
I guess you have to leave now, huh, Waz? You have to go? Hey, folks, we'll be right back. Hopefully you'll still be here.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
All right, guys, back on Truth Hurts with the Waz. And I guess he is able to stay with us a few more minutes, so that's great.
Yeah, just a few more minutes, Charles. I have a 10:30 conference call coming in for a podcast.
Okay, sure. No problem. One other thing I wanted to ask you, even before I get to that, I guess we've got a few minutes here. The Katrina thing. Now, here again, we see more breakdown, more what has been called incompetence. But, you know, you got to wonder after a while, how many times can they keep crying incompetence? They did that on 9/11. Incompetence. Oh, we just had no system in place to intercept these planes. We're in Cold War mode. We're expecting
the attack. Incompetence seems to come right from the start. I mean, everybody agrees that the real president was Cheney and, you know, and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld to a greater extent than anything else. Look at the confidence. I mean, Condoleezza Rice, every time she opens her mouth, I'm thinking, this is a Secretary of State?
It's scary, isn't it?
It's very scary. But the incompetence. Katrina worried me more that there just wasn't simple planning that any engineer or scientist could do. What if we had a big disaster and had to evacuate a city's worth of people? You could plan, ready to put together tent housing, distribute it at various sites around this country, have it ready to deliver with it and set up within 24, 48 hours anywhere near a big disaster like that, and move the people out. And why they aren't allowed to take their animals, when I read about other countries like Cuba that evacuates entire, you know, 300,000 population and lets them bring their pets.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, Waz, I have suspicions that we're probably dealing here with more than simple incompetence. I hope I'm wrong, but I see criminal negligence here because, for example, Bush appointed FEMA to handle this whole operation. In fact, before the storm even struck, that was on the White House's website. He appointed FEMA. Michael Brown headed it up. And for the next 8 days after the storm, FEMA was not allowing, you know, 50 countries offered food, water, medicine. FEMA turned them away. Point blank, just said, nope, we don't want your help. We don't need it or whatever. Then counties from all over the country.
My true hunch is that FEMA was so undermanaged, it's equivalent to being understaffed, and they were and had their hands full at the top and were trying to micromanage it and figure out a way out of it, and they just didn't have the resources to accept the thing that he offers from other countries. It takes time to do some logistics.
Yeah, here's another problem, though. FEMA was caught, and this was reported in mainstream media, that FEMA was caught cutting communication lines, and they also weren't allowing people to leave the city. This was reported on Fox. Shepard Smith was there on the bridge, and he says, folks, he says, I'm not kidding you. This bridge is the only way out for these people. All they have to do is walk across this bridge, and they can get water, food, medicine. But there was a checkpoint at the end of this bridge. They're turning people around and telling them they cannot leave the city to get their own help. What is going on here?
I don't know if that was FEMA or the military or what was the reasoning. You know, there were some wealthier people didn't want them in their neighborhoods. No one has ever explained. No one's ever going to understand. That was just wrong. We're supposed to be the sort of people that help each other. And, you know, you go to any third world country and they're the first ones to jump out. Oh, can I help you in any which way whatsoever? Is there anything you need?
And they don't have the financial means to do so like we do, and yet there they are doing it, you know.
Yeah.
By lack of funds, but they're sending, you know, $10 billion over to Iraq every month. It's
well, our financial means is more something to protect than to use to help.
Right. And it's just, by the way,
I read is, you know, we grew up thinking we're the country that always gives when there's a natural disaster. Actually, where there's a big natural disaster, every civilized country of the world, the populace is upset. They all want to give some money to help out, and they all help out. And we're low on the per capita scale. We're almost in last place, I think.
Yeah, it's really sad. There's no need of it. The other thing I wanted to point out, too, is FEMA actually has forbidden people living in their trailer parks, the survivors of Katrina, forbidding them from talking to the media unless there's somebody from FEMA present. So once again, we can see it looks like, you know, they've got something to hide. They don't want the public to know about whatever that might be, is anyone's guess. But, you know, I just see the same pattern repeating itself. You know, they're covering
stuff. I would
like
to have an open government, the same as with computers and computer software. The more open you make it, people can see what you did, can take your benefits and improve on them, come up with their own ideas.
Right. You know, I wanted to ask you in the last few minutes we have here, what you see the trend being in coming years for the Internet. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Internet 2 and basically shutting down the freedom of information that's being spread on the net. You know, they're saying it's to control terrorism, of course. But, you know, to me, it's
that scares me whenever you put any limits on this, because the Internet was supposed to be like space. It's sort of free, not owned by anyone, but you do have to protect your people to some extent. So I don't mind, putting up some kind of porn filters, whatever, for the people, so the people won't accidentally stumble into it that don't want it.
Yeah, that's too easily accessed by kids. And
you know, if somebody doesn't want certain things, I'd be the first to protect and give them away. With internet technology, we can find the way. So I don't know what the future is. I think it's kind of clear that I don't think it's changed a lot in the last few years. I think it's sort of predictable, except for the Web 2 type stuff. And the Web 2 type stuff is just like people who came in late and weren't the pioneers of figuring out how to set up their own web pages, so now they have MySpace.
Right.
You know, and it's a little more versatile because technology moved forward, but it's tough to say. I think the high-speed Internet with extremely, you know, broadband over airwaves, over cell phone waves, that suggests a lot of change.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's so many ways you can access the net now, and the price has really come down. It's great. I mean, for as long as it lasts like it is, it's wonderful, because it is really, as far as I'm concerned, the last bastion of freedom of information.
I'm having a tough time tough time putting my head on it. I have to go. I have another conference call coming.
Yeah, hey, listen, I appreciate you coming on, and maybe we can have you on again sometime. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Charles.
You take care.
Bye.
Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back here on radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Guys, down to the last half hour or so. Time flies here on True Threats. Yeah, that was the Woz. Very nice of him. He actually spent about an extra 10 minutes with us. That was a total of a 40-minute time slot he gave us. And it seems like he was only on here for 5 minutes. We didn't get to really talk about a whole heck of a lot. But, you know, I did get a few 9/11 comments in there. I was curious to see where he's coming from. And obviously, he doesn't go along with the official story. He knows that there's problems. And again, the whopping majority of Americans fall into that conspiratorial paranoia category. And for good reasons, because the official story is complete hogwash. It does not stand up to close scrutiny. The only place that the theory aspect fits in is trying to understand how the events actually played out. But it's not a theory that the official story is bunk. That's no theory at all. That's a fact. That can be proven. The official story does not and cannot stand up to close scrutiny. That's the ridiculous theory. But again, you know, that's the key to understanding things like this. And, you know, 9/11 and 7/7 and 3/11 and the 93 World Trade Center bombing attempt and Oklahoma City bombing, on and on and on. The key to understanding these things is not so much to know what happened, but to know what didn't happen. And we know what didn't happen on 9/11. It did not happen the way that we were told. It could not have happened the way that we were told. You know, in future shows, I'll be spending a lot more time elaborating on this, going off into my little rants about it. But it's just ridiculous to say that these guys were master planners when they hijacked planes up in Boston and their targets were down in New York. I mean, give me a break. If they were master planners, they would have done their homework and known that you can have an intercept and or shoot down within 5 minutes anywhere over the continental U.S., especially the Northeast, where a lot of our bases are located. And, you know, we know that there were extra planes on alert that morning because of the Vigilant Guardian exercises and, in fact, 7 other exercises of a similar nature that were going on that morning. They had extra planes on official highest state of alert. So there's no excuse whatsoever for any of those planes having hit their target, especially, you know, Flight 77 that was known to be hijacked after the two towers in New York had already been hit, and yet that plane was allowed to fly toward Washington for 40 minutes without an intercept or even an attempt at one or a shoot down. And they said, we didn't have adequate radar coverage for that area. Right. An area just outside the nation's capital, the headquarters of the most powerful military in the world, doesn't have adequate air coverage just 60, 70 miles out. Sure you didn't. We were in Cold War mode, and we were only prepared for an attack outside the U.S., but not inside. Yeah, that's like Muhammad Ali saying, "Wow, I didn't know he was going to hit me with a left hook. I was only prepared for a right hook." Cut the baloney. These are the guys supposedly protecting us from, a nuclear attack. Guys, do understand NORAD tracks every square inch of North American airspace 24/7. That is the purpose for their existence. And again, we're supposed to believe that. But anyway, master planner hijackers didn't know that, we shouldn't hijack from Boston. We should hijack right from in New York, Kennedy Airport, let's say, and slam our targets before there's ever a chance for an intercept. No, instead, I have a good idea. Brothers, let's hijack planes way up in Boston, half hour ride away. This will give plenty of time for intercept, which will thwart our mission. And the other two planes we're going to hijack from East Coast, Dulles and Newark, fly all the way to eastern coast, eastern border of Ohio, only to turn around and head back in the direction. This will allow even more time for intercept, and this will be after the two towers in New York have been hit, and everybody knows nation is under attack. This will be great. We will show how incompetent American government is. They won't be able to stop us. Allah has revealed it to us. We can get away with this. Come on. What kind of baloney is this? Complete scam. And then they ask Pentagon spokesman Glenn Flood, why wasn't there at least an evacuation at the Pentagon? Okay, you didn't send an intercept up or shoot down, but why didn't you at least evacuate the Pentagon, the White House, the Capitol? You know what he says? Glenn Flood.
You gotta understand, we don't evacuate unless we know there's an imminent threat.
This guy, as far as I know, still has his job. Probably got a raise. Probably got an advance, too. He's got a higher position now. Maybe he's a four-star general. I don't know. We don't evacuate unless we know there's an imminent threat. Okay, let's see. The two towers in New York had already been hit. This third known hijacked plane is heading toward Washington, and that's not an imminent threat. Can't you see they didn't have an evacuation? Because they already knew where this plane was going. That's why Cheney gave the stand-down orders. We have the testimony given by Mineta, Transportation Secretary, before the 9/11 Commission. He told Hamilton, yeah, Cheney confirmed that, you know, he told the aide that kept calling out to him, sir, the plane is 50 miles out, 40 miles out, 30 miles out. Did the order still stand? Of course the order still stand. And then he was asked, were there shoot-down orders given at this time? No, sir, no such orders were given. Obviously, if they weren't shoot-down orders, they had to be stand-down orders, which explains why the guy kept asking him, are you sure, are you sure, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want me to shoot this plane down? It's hijacked. It's a bomb, a flying bomb. It's coming right toward us. Of course the orders still stand. Oh, shut up. Don't do anything. We want it to hit the Pentagon. Obviously. 9/11 Commission report, of course, just brushes right over that. It's like they brushed over the Building 7 issue. They didn't even touch the Building 7 issue. In fact, if you didn't know Building 7 came down that afternoon, you just read the 9/11 Commission report, you'd never know that this third building came down in classic demolition fashion, crumbling from the base. Yeah, how many buildings have you seen crumble from the base in your life that weren't controlled demolitions? I can answer that for you. Don't waste any of your brain power. Zero. How many will you ever see in your lifetime, in the future, come down from the base, crumbling in less than 6 seconds, reducing to powder in the process? Zero, other than controlled demolition. It can't happen. According to the NIST, though, they haven't actually come out with their official statement yet on Building 7. They've been delaying that because, ooh, they're getting sores on their scalp, scratching their heads, trying to come up with something that looks somewhat feasible. That's a tricky one. How are we going to answer this one now? Building crumbling from the base? The roof remains level all the way down to the ground. The building doesn't tip. We've been telling the public that it collapsed because of damage done on the WTC, on the north and south tower facing side of it. But yet the building didn't tip in that direction. How are we going to explain that? I wonder how long it's going to be before that report comes out. Maybe it never will. And are they going to tell us once again, like they did in the report for Building 1 and 2, that we found no evidence of explosives being used? And then later on they admit, we did not test any of the steel for explosive residues. Yeah, that's a real scientific report coming at you from the makers of Mother Goose Rhymes. It's unbelievable, guys. Are we any better off than the people in the Dark Ages? The only thing they haven't told us yet is that the Earth is flat and the moon is made of cheese. But stick around, that's coming next. They might as well tell us that with the crap they've given us in their building performance report there. Whatever they called it, their 10,000-plus page. That was the name of the FEMA report. But FEMA's report was no less ridiculous, although at least they had the sense enough to admit that there's really no explanation for the cause of Building 7's collapse and that further investigation is required. And that's the investigation the NIST is now engaged in. So hold on to your hats. I'm sure they'll have the answers forthcoming. And it'll explain it, or explain it all away anyway. It'll be suitable for the dumbed-down, doped-up know-nothings that don't have the wherewithal to stay in out of the cold. I don't know. Science. Can't you see, guys, we're still in the Dark Ages today? The lies are a little bit more refined. And they've changed their lies a little bit. Yeah, the Earth now does orbit the sun. It's not flat. And there aren't sea monsters that gobble you up as soon as you venture too far out into the ocean. But the lies they're telling us actually are far more serious, far more deadly. And far more ridiculous. If you arm yourself with a basic sense of an understanding of the laws of physics, buildings do not and cannot crumble to dust. You listen to the neocons, though, they'll tell you, well, Building 7 was actually constructed quite flimsily. Well, basically having you believe that it had a fold-up lounge chair design so that it could easily just come right down. Yeah, that's what you do when you build high-rise buildings. You want to build them clumsily, so the slightest flick of your cigarette's ashes on the floor, we can just take it right down in a puff of smoke in an instant. That's what you want to do with high-rise buildings. I mean, that's really what you'll come away with when you listen to these guys, if you're gullible enough to listen to them. It turns out that Building 7 actually won an award in early 2001. You can go to Silverstein Properties website and see that for yourself. It won an award in early 2001 for being the most sturdily constructed buildings in the country. But yet there it was on 9/11, just folded in on itself. Had no more serious damage done to it than any other buildings in that area. As a matter of fact, there were other buildings near Ground Zero that had far worse damage done to them by falling debris. And they didn't come down. Heck, Building 6 was completely gutted out. Every square inch of that building was enraged with flames, and yet the steel structure itself remained standing. Building 7 only has a few small pockets of fire burning on half-dozen floors, and poof, comes right down. Don't ask troubling questions as to how it happened. Just accept that it did. Your government wouldn't lie to you. I mean, it's not like we've been lied into war in Iraq now, is it? Gee, paranoid people you are. Anyway, that concludes my 9/11 rant for now. But it was good to see that this guy, very influential in the business world, the Bill Gates of Apple Computer, saying that, yeah, there are problems with this official story. There are things that just don't make sense. Anyway, and, you know, that's increasing exponentially, guys, every day, more and more people, especially in the, you know, in celebrities, in Hollywood, in people in engineering, especially in foreign countries. You don't see it too much here because, obviously, these people work for educational institutions that depend on big handouts from the federal government every year, obviously they're going to be more prone to keep their mouths shut. But overseas, we've had a lot of, you know, structural engineers, material scientists who've been coming forward saying, yeah, it's ridiculous. Look at that Italian documentary the other day I made reference to, showing that Building 7 definitely was a controlled demolition. There's no other way to explain that. And then, of course, you get the molten steel. How do you get molten steel from fires they admit were only 800 degrees? Molten steel requiring temperatures of 2,800 degrees, 2,000 degrees hotter. You know what the NIST's explanation for molten steel at Ground Zero is? First of all, they say they found no evidence of it. Doesn't exist. But they say even if there was molten steel, that could be accounted for by the fires that raged under the debris pile. But guys, there were no raging fires under the debris pile. There was a lot of heat under there. But you can't have raging fires in a debris pile. As they dug through the pile and got lower and lower and underneath all the ash and dust, yeah, they found still molten puddles of steel. But that's because dust and ash acts as an insulator to keep those temperatures high. Those fires are underneath there smoldering, just waiting until oxygen hits them, and then they flare up again. All that insulating ash and dust can do is keep temperatures roughly at the same temperature they were from the moment they reached those high temperatures, you know, for weeks and months on end, and that's just what happened. Months on end, those temperatures were kept high under there. The steel was kept in a molten state. But you can't have a fire increasing in temperature buried under insulating ash and dust unless there's oxygen being fed underneath. This is common sense. You learn this stuff in third grade, for crying out loud. But here's the NIST twisting reality, telling us the Earth is flat, the moon is made of cheese, and you will be attacked by sea monsters if you venture too far out to sea. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying here. This is ridiculous. They're saying that the temperature could have been raised from 800 degrees to 2,800 degrees underneath mounds of debris, with no oxygen reaching that area. It's just scandalously ridiculous. Pathetic. And you paid $20 million to these hucksters pawning themselves off as scientists to produce this scandalous report. Unbelievable. So hats off to Mr. Woz and so many others like him that are finally coming forward without fear of this fascist pig regime dragging the name in the dust, recognizing this as a scam. That's exactly what it was. And, you know, some people say, all right, enough with 9/11. You've been talking about that enough. Hogwash. Hogwash enough about 9/11. 3,000 of your fellow citizens were murdered that day, and the perpetrators, regardless whose story you go by, the real perpetrators obviously are still walking around loose. Because the FBI admits that They don't have any credible evidence, or hard evidence, to connect Bin Laden with that crime. So they're admitting that, and you know, then you've got the head of the FBI, Robert Mueller. He admitted before the Commonwealth Club of California back in April of 2002. This was in the LA Times and the San Francisco Chronicle. He admitted that of all the tens of thousands of pages of documents that we collected here and in Afghanistan, we haven't found a single shred of evidence to make a connection between that country and 9/11. So there you go. The FBI admits that they have no evidence to connect Bin Laden. The FBI director admits they have no evidence to connect Afghanistan with 9/11. So, you know, who did do it then? Who is the guilty party here? And how can we let this matter drop when obviously the guilty party is still walking loose? Well, you know, I think we know who the guilty party is because George Bush went before Congress shortly after 9/11. And he said the terrorists who attacked us on 9/11 did so because they hate our freedoms. So all we have to do to find out who the perpetrators of 9/11 were is to find out who hates our freedoms. Well, 2 weeks later, the Bush administration ramrodded the Patriot Act through Congress. I think we have our answer right there. I think we can take that as a personal confession. Thank you very much, George. We'll see you before grand jury tomorrow morning. Stick with us, guys. We've got a few more minutes left after the break here on Truth Hurts Radio.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, I promised I would be back.
And here I am back on True Thoughts Radio. I am here because George Bush is a man who does not back down.
All right, guys, we have a caller on the line who's going to lay it on the line. We got Rachel from Colorado. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi. You are a funny guy.
That's what my psychiatrist says to me.
I haven't been laughing ever since I've gone on the air.
there's lots of things to make fun of these days, isn't there? They're a big joke in Washington. We might as well have a few laughs, you know.
That's right. Absolutely. They both should be hung.
Oh, I tell you. Grand jury. Let the jury decide, but they definitely need to be brought for a grand jury. Their crimes of treason are just phenomenal.
Outrageous.
Nothing like in the history of this country. Bring back Nixon. I mean, he had the decency to admit when he got caught, you know. He had some standards, some scruples about him. Or the mafia, for that matter. You know, put them in power. They have some code of ethics, too. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, they got a conscience. At least they want the priest there for last rites. You know, these guys don't care.
I know.
Scary stuff.
Oh, funny.
So what'd you think of the Waz?
Oh, gosh.
Interesting, huh?
I've laughed so much that my throat is hurting.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
Oh, I really am. More than you can imagine.
I tell you, you got to laugh. You know, as I always say, you got to act crazy once in a while. It helps you keep your sanity. If you don't, you will. You'll go crazy. I mean, this world, it's mad. It's maddening.
I know it. It's true.
Got to keep your sense of humor.
That's right. On the other foot, we had 8 soldiers die today from roadside bombs.
Yeah.
And it's happening like almost every day, and every time that I listen to our beloved president, he's always saying how we've got to stay in Iraq.
Of course.
We can't get out now, and why? I'd like to know why. Why we can't leave.
I got them near Halliburton stocks. It's all he's concerned about. ExxonMobil, they got the contract there. You can't pull out now. They're going to lose the contract.
That's right.
The Rockefeller would not be happy. I mean, he's glad that he's got some new additions to his ancient artifacts collection that they robbed from the Baghdad Museum. But, you know, that's not enough. That's not going to cut it, though. By the way, that is available to view, guys. If you're wondering where all those treasures went, you can't go to the Baghdad Museum anymore. Just go to Fifth Avenue. David Rockefeller has them in his living room. Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, tell me that wasn't an inside job. You know, that's probably a loss to the Iraqi people. It's a loss to the whole planet. I mean, our everyone's beginnings were there in the Fertile Crescent, you know? That's
right.
A loss to the whole world. It's sad. It's pathetic. Disgusting.
That's right.
Bunch of thieves.
On the other hand, Osama bin Laden has been dead for like 3 years now.
Yeah, but we still have Osama bin Laden lookalike number 7, though. He's running loose. He's doing pretty well, I hear. I want to know if he's the same guy that's been impersonating, you know, Zarqawi and all these other fake ASM. Well, we had another caller, but we're not going to have time, unfortunately. I think that's going to do it for today. Anyway, thanks for your call, Rachel.
Okay.
Keep laughing. Keep your sanity.
Okay.
All right, folks. We'll be back tomorrow here on True Threats Radio. See you tomorrow.
A message for all home